parasha talks about the Egel Azov, the chet of the Klal Yisrael, tremendous chet, which, as we know, there's a Mahokos Rishonim. Many Rishonim hold it with Mamish Avodah Zarah. Some Rishonim argue on that, but there definitely many Rishonim hold this Avodah Zarah, the chet of the Egel. And what does the Pas say about Vaydabra Hashem El Moshe, Vechrei Kishiches Amcha? Right, go down because your nation is destroying itself, is corrupt. They make themselves a molten calf, a metallic molten calf. They bowed down to it. They brought offerings to it, made to mizbeach to it. And they said, this is your God, right? This is Avodah Zarah. This is your God, Sheruch Hameyas Nisrayim. So what happened? They messed up. They made a mistake. They served Avodah Zarah according to Moshe Rishonim. Hayom Hashem Moshe, Hashem sees what's going on. He tells to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ra'isi Yasa Amazeh, I see the people, and I'm She'o Refu. And they're a stiff-necked people. I think that's what they translate, stiff-necked people. So the altar from Sabbatka, just to begin with, he says, very interesting, he says, what is the focus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying? So, I guess if I were written the Torah, if I were to focus on tell you what the problem is, what would I say the problem is? Avodah Zarah. Right? It's one of the three biggies, the three cardinal averos. Why should I punish them so severely? Next passage, which isn't quoted with, next passage says, I want to destroy them because of what happened. So what happened? Avodah Zarah happened. Right? But that's not what the Pasuk says. That's not what Hashem says. Rosh Baruch Hu says the altar, says over here, first in the Pasuk, right? Obviously, he talks about what happened. The Torah is what happened. But when it comes down to the bottom line, when Hashem summarized to Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, I'm She'o Refu. Why is he talking about, why is he picking on that? He should talk about Hinei Avdo Avodah Zarah. That's all. Now, obviously, the reason might be because I'm sheriff, but you're not punished for the reason. You're punished for what they did. If a person has a weakness, he's a Baal Taiva, and you have one same amount of Baal Taiva, one person was over a terrible Avera, and one person was over a small Avera. You punish each commensurate to what he did wrong, the smaller versus the bigger Avera. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm very upset, and I want to destroy them, why? Because I'm sheriff, so it was because of the chet, so to speak, of being an Am She'oref, as opposed to what I would normally assume it should say, is because Avodah Zarah. Says the altar, we see from here that there's two different departments, so to speak. A person has Bechira Chavshis, he chooses to do right, chooses to do wrong, he has that koch, the ability to do different things. And we make mistakes sometimes. A person with Chavshis Taiva, he makes a mistake, he's lazy, he's got a big taiva all of a sudden. Okay, he makes mistakes. You know, it doesn't uptight him. It might be a terrible Avera per se, right? So Avodah Zarah was a terrible Avera, but okay, he messed up, right? He made a wrong decision. He was in a bad situation. He wasn't careful. He wasn't cautious. Fine, that's an Avera. Hashem will deal with it appropriately. But there's a bigger problem. There's a bigger problem there. What is that? The way the Altar says, it's Midos. Midos versus Deos. Deos is the Hashkofa concept. What is he doing? The guy does a bad thing because he makes a mistake, he sees it wrongly. That's one aver. But worse than everything else, Rabbeinu says, if his inner self-being, if his selam al-kim, if his nefesh, if his neshama is corrupt, or if there's some problem with the neshama, some midostik problem with his nefesh, with who he is, I call it his selam al-kim, is defective, that's a serious problem. That's a more serious problem than Avodah Zarah. Hashem says, I have a major problem with these people. They're amksheref. They're stubborn, stiff-necked people. That's a terrible ingrained midah. That's a defect in the character of a person. And that's how chashuv the character of a person is. Not just, you know, be a nice guy, don't be balkas. This is the uptight of the mensch. This is who we are. This defines who the person is. And the definition of a person is definitive and indicates to us how chashuv or not chashuv he is. Hashem sees these people doing avodah zarah, terrible avera. Get them for it. But you know what's worse than that? What's worse than that is the Am She'oref, their stubbornness. So you see how chashuv midos is, and can lead to Avodah Zarah. A person has bad midos. In this case, he'll get Avodah Zarah. Bad midos, again, doesn't mean just that he's not such a nice guy. If he's Am She'oref, it's a bad midos. That's his trait. That's how you define the person. He's an Am She'oref. What does that mean, Abol Sogomais? What does that mean, Am She'oref? So Rashi says, Am She'oref machzirin k'shei orpam. They turn the stubbornness or the harshness of their neck. They don't want to listen. I don't listen. I'm very stubborn. I want to do my thing. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't want to listen to them. There's like a negativity, an active, not just passive, there's an active negativity, a resistance to going and listening to someone else. That's Rashi. Okay. Pretty bad. Okay. Look at the Eben Ezra both. Eben Ezra is a little different. Not such a bad guy. Not such bad people. Vayomer. Tam k'she oref, says Eben Ezra's first couple lines. Tam k'she oref. Shlo yishma mashet siva. Does not hear what people are telling him. Mashal, brings a mashal. What does that mean? Doesn't hear. Mashal adam aholech hadarka, b'merusa. A guy is going on his path very quickly. He's in a rush to get someplace. Bo yoshiv okef. Oh, I'm sorry. Oref. V'kore elav. He doesn't turn himself to the person calling him. He's not resistant. He's not nearly as bad as the Rashi's amkshe oref. He's someone who's in a big rush. He's walking very quickly. According to the mashal, he's walking very quickly in the path. And people say, hey, Naiman, what about this? They'll watch out where you're going. He just doesn't hear. He doesn't listen. He's not attuned to picking up to what people are telling him. So, there's no negativity in terms of, I don't want to hear what they're saying. He's a nice guy. He's a very nice Ben Torah. He's a decent guy. He would like to do Ratzon Hashem. He wants to listen to his Rabbeim. He wants to listen to Torah, Gilash Torah. He wants to listen to everything, but he's not going to hear. He's too busy. He's just too inattentive to hearing what people are telling him, to hearing Tochacha, so to speak. And in this case, Abosai, so it comes out according to the Eben Ezra, what happened over here is that because of the lack of attentiveness, and it's not people Mochiach, right? Rashi's people Mochiach. There are a lot of different people in the Kai Yisrael, and people said certain things in a Mochiach, and don't do that, whatever, it's no good, their advice, whatever, right? So according to the Eben Ezra, they just, I don't mind listening, but they're so involved in their day-to-day business, like you ignore what people tell you, like it just slides off your back, it just falls off and slips off your back like a slippery slope. You just don't hear it. You don't pay attention to it. You might physically hear it. Doesn't mean you don't physically hear it. I don't think it means that. But you're just not attuned to it. You're not responsive to thinking about what someone's telling you. And you're just rushing. You're just rushing along. Like the Mesillas Yesharim says, in Midas the Hebrew, so he talks about this whole first, the whole second paragraph, he talks about a person has to be nizer b'maisav, has to be misbonein, mufakeach ha-maisav drach. He has to be think carefully about your actions, about your anhagos. Otherwise, he's sakonas avadon. He talks about the sus shotif mochama. The pasuk brings in Yirmiyah like a horse running in the mochama, just goes blindly. He talks about the person who's walking on the svas hayam and he's blind. The blind person doesn't see where he's going. He's not trying to avoid. He's not trying to hurt himself, but he's in terrible danger. He's not this person. Not misboner abosai. In this case, the kolita avodah zara. The person. No, so they had no natia, they had no drive, I want to do Avodah Zarah, they had no conscious thing, I want to do it, but all the tochacha, which they possibly could have heard or would have responded to, and they should have responded to, they didn't listen to, I don't take things seriously. He doesn't hear it, he doesn't want to respond, not because of a negative, I don't want to listen to him, I want to do my own thing, not because of that, but just, there's a nature of a person which is very, very dangerous, as we see over here. The biggest threat in history, I guess, was that they just didn't listen. They just didn't want to hear, right? They're mochicheim. They're people who guided them. They're obeying them. They're friends. They're chaveirim, whatever it was. They're both said to be so careful. It's not just, you would think, listen, I'm not a negative guy. One of my rabbi tells me, of course I'll listen, but he never tells me, right? I'm doing everything right. Both say, they're telling you. Your rabbi's telling you. Your friend's telling you. Your parents are telling you, but it just slides off our back. We don't pay attention. We don't take heed. We don't think about it. We don't take it seriously. And therefore, it can lead Rabosai to terrible repercussions. We find a similar idea, Rabosai. I heard a Shmuz from Rabbi Grumba recently. Very nice, related to this. The Navi in Shmuel, Aleph, says as follows. It talks about the famous Chana and Penina. As we know, Chana and Penina were co-wives. They were Tsar Zugazu, so to speak. And Penina had... Make sure I got it straight. Penina had 10 children, okay? And initially, Chana had, she was barren. She was not Kara. And she was davening for Mizpah, for her children. So what happens? So Penina, in her efforts to help out her sister, what did she do? Chazal talk about it. What happened in the Pasuk? She went ahead And she made her very jealous. She said certain things. You have no children, whatever. I forgot the exact question she said. She said to Chana. And she made Chana very jealous because that would cause Chana to feel deeply pained and therefore be motivated to daven with excessive, tremendous amount of kavana. Right? Penina was Niskal L'Shem Shemayim. She wanted to help her sister. Her sister has no children. And she realized that if she would motivate Chana to go ahead and daven with greater concentration, so she would be zocheh the children. So how did she do it? She made fun of her. She made her jealous of that. I have 10 children. You have nothing. So Meila, so that's what happened. But Lamai said that was a terrible, wrong thing to do. It's not Das Torah. The ends don't justify the means. And you can't upset or hurt someone and cause someone pain because you want to help them out. That's inappropriate. And therefore she was punished. So what happened? So the Pasuk over here says, the Pasuk in the Rashi, the Pasuk says, in the middle of Pasuk, hey, Ad Akora Yolda Shiva, and Akara gave birth to 7 children, Rabas Bonim Umgola. And the person, the woman in this case, who had a lot of children, she buried them. Says Rashi, what's the pshat? What happened over here? Because Rashi, Ad Akara Yolda Shiva, Rabas Bonim Umgola, will be owed Shakara Yolda Shiva. What does it mean when the Akara was still giving birth to 7 Bonim, Rabas Bonim Umgola Vakaveres Bonim? The other person, in this case Penina, was burying her children. What happened? Chana Yolda Shiva, Shnemar, Kifokar Hashem es Chana. Hashem enabled Chana to have children. Tarva Tegel Shlosha Banim Shtei Banos. She had 5 children. So how do you get 7? Why is it she didn't have 7? She only had 5 children. It says Rashi, Ukeshachana Yogedes Achas Echad. Every time Chana gave birth to 1 child, Penina Kaverish Nayim. As the punishment, Chazal say, because of the fact that she made fun and she caused her a lot of sar, every time Chana eventually, after tefillos, which were successful, and there was, she was successful in motivating her co-wife Chana to daven with a lot of kavana, and therefore Chana did have eventually 4 children, well, excuse me, 5 children, but every time Chana was giving birth to a child, Penina koverish dayim. As a punishment, so Penina was, 2 of her children died every time one of Chana's children were born. Yeah, Sarah Banam Hayugot, and so Penina had 10 children. Right? So by time Penina gave birth to 8 to 4, I'm sorry. So Penina bare 8 children. When she became pregnant with the 5th child, Nishtatcha Penina Ragla. So Penina prostrated herself, bent down, so to speak, and got down on her hands and knees to beg Penina to please Ubiksha Rachamim. I'm sorry, she asked him to please daven for her. Ubiksha Rachamim. Nechayu. So Meila, so I guess it means Penina asked Chana to please daven. Chana did daven for her, right? And she was mochel her. Nechayu. And the Nechayu, Venikra Shema. So the last 2 children of Penina, right, stayed alive because of the fact that the Penina went in and asked Rachmanis, asked for Mechila, which was granted, and she was davened for, and therefore, so the last 2 she stayed alive, and therefore, it's considered, therefore we count, when we talk about the amount of children that Chana had, it was 7, it was really 5, but 5 plus 2, the 2 that she saved Penina to have, and they didn't die, therefore Chana had 5 biological ones, and 2 that were credit to her, because she davened, she was Mochor. That's what Rashi says. But the question of Bosai is, Penina was obviously a big tzaddikus. She was a very special person, big Bala Samuna, right? She realized all B'yad Hashem. So what happened after the first time, right? 1 child of Chana was born, right? After the whole business, 2 of her children die. Okay, a little funny, a little mother, 1 born, 2 die. Okay, something's funny over here. A second time, another child's born by Chana, another 2 die. Why did it take Penina 4 children, 8 children, right? 4 births and 8 buried 8 children to figure out that it's because of what she did to Chana. Obviously, there's a connection every time she gives birth. So she did something wrong many moons ago, whatever it was, when she did this, when she hurt and she pained, she caused sorrow to her co-wife, to Chana. That's what happened. So what happened? How come Penina didn't go to Chana earlier and ask her, please, I'm okay, please, help Rachmanis, my kids are dying. Already 2. 4, 6, finally after 8, then she figures out, hey, I got it. So my groomer said, pshat is, that's what we're talking about. Everything requires his bonus. Even in this situation where To us, it's obvious. But it wasn't obvious. It wasn't obvious to her. She had her negias, she had her whatever, and she thought she did everything right. And it didn't click. She didn't get it straight. It didn't make sense. Like, why are my children dying? Why? Because of that. I can't because of that. It's only after she felt so much pressure, such sorrow, so much motivation to figure out what's going on, and she was really misboning. Ah, that's it. I got it. I figured it out. It's because of the fact that I caused her sorrow many moons ago, many years ago, before she had any of her five children. So you see how important it is to be misboning, not just go. You're not doing anything terrible. Nothing. I'm not resisting. I'm not resisting, but you're not thinking. You're not attentive. You're not trying to hear. You're not trying to listen to someone else. You're not thinking on your own. You have to think on your own. You can't be like the person who goes through life every day and he's doing everything right. He's just doing things. He thinks everything's right. But there's so many aspects, so many gears that people have. There's so many taivas and desires that a person has that blinds a person. And a person, if he doesn't take an active role in trying, as the Mesillas Yesharim is trying to misbone, to actively think and to try actively listen and think, both listen to what people are saying, listen again. Maybe I made a mistake, but he tells me, what's he talking about? I'm not negative, but I don't know. He's saying he's crazy. He's off the wall. I'm not making a mistake. What's the problem? You have to be actively misboning. You have to actively try to hear what someone tells you. It can make a difference on both sides between Avodah Zarah or not Avodah Zarah. Make a difference between Rahman al-Islam bearing eight children, Rahman al-Islam. She didn't chop till later on because she wasn't misboning, because she just didn't hear it. She just didn't, she didn't think that was a problem. It's not a problem. She wasn't misboning sufficiently.